is right or wrong. But it does seem to me that if you want to raise a self-reliant individual, you load the odds in your favor by allowing the child the greatest possible latitude in making decisions for himself. That the more decisions he can make, the more likely he is to turn out to be a good decision maker. The so-called terrible consequences to him are not usually as bad as they are thought to be. For instance, if the child sticks his hand into the fire, he is not going to die from it, but he will find out for himself the hard way the reality of fire and the consequences of treating it as anything else. And you may tell him 100 times, and you may prevent him 100 times from sticking his hand in the fire, but the first time the opportunity is available to him, he may put his hand in anyway. And he may do it at a time when you're not around to see him and help alleviate the pain that might come from it, and so he may suffer a great deal more for your not being willing to let him reap the natural consequences of his act when he first had the idea in mind. This also means, it seems to me, that at the earliest opportunity, you want to make a contract with the child as to the nature of the relationship between you, meaning an agreement between you as to what your relationship is. Why is he there in the house? What do you want from him in exchange for what you provide? If you simply say, well, as long as I pay the bills, as long as I'm feeding the kid, he's going to do what I say, is not realistic or fair, if you want to establish a standard of fair, because you're not allowing him the opportunity to say that he'll take his business elsewhere if your alternative is no longer the best one available to him. Now, you can do this. Believe me, you can do it. You can simply lock him in his room and slide his food under the door. And you can do it any way you want to, and he may not be able to scream loud enough that even any altruistic person living next door would run to his aid with the Village Aid Society and the Parent Teachers Association to rescue him and take him down to juvenile hall or whatever. You may very well get away with coercing him fully for 18 years. But what's the point? What will you get out of it? What will you accomplish? What good consequences will come from it? Truly, he should be free to go, as I see it, free to go any time he can make a more profitable arrangement elsewhere, which, of course, is easier said than done, just because he thinks he'd rather live at Jimmy's house because Jimmy has a bigger truck to play with than he does not mean that Jimmy's parents are going to go for the idea or that even Jimmy will go for the idea since he likes his truck, too. So when you say that the child should be free to decide does not mean that all kinds of alternatives will suddenly be available to him because they might not be. The point is that he should be free to go. If you find that his leaving, even on his own initiative, might put you in jail because of the existing laws today, then you may want to restrain him by force, if necessary, in order to keep yourself from being coerced. But this requires altering your arrangement with him to take this into consideration, meaning that you might say to him, look, this is the reality of things as they are, and since that's what they'll do to me, this is what I'll do to you to keep you from going. But now that we've recognized that, what's the best that we can do between us with things as they are? This you might do with anybody else. I don't know why this is running so much longer tonight. Feel free to get up and leave anytime you want to after 1 o'clock. But it'll be about 10 more minutes, I think, at the most. The contract you have with your child, of course, is continually subject to renegotiation because you can't expect to bind him to anything for life. You can't say that at age 3 you'll get together with him and you'll draw up a contract that he nods his head to, and then you can remind him at 15 that he agreed to this in order to get a bottle that day, or whatever it might have been, because he's going to react against you for having taken advantage of him during a time that he will have felt was less opportune for him than at the present, meaning a time when he had less knowledge upon which to make a decision. As far as I'm concerned, no lifetime contract can ever be workable between any two people. It is slavery, pure and simple. It isn't enough to say that someone agreed to it. If I woke up one morning to find that the night before I had become drunk and signed myself into somebody's slavery, I would certainly do everything I could do to get out of it by whatever means became necessary in order to get out of it. I put myself in that position, so I will suffer consequences for having done so, but I don't have to stay there. I will simply suffer consequences for a foolish act on my part, but I think I would be making the consequences worse for living it out. But meaning that if I have my way, one of the consequences of my foolish act will not be a lifetime of slavery. By whatever means is necessary, I would try to get out of it. Knowledge is in a continual state of change, and an individual will often come to